From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move ahead in our 24th year on the air. Thanks to all of our great underwriters, all of our great guests, and of course you, the listeners, and of course the vision of Bishop Wiegand when he founded the radio show back in 1999, and Doug Sherman at Immaculate Heart Radio, and of course the great follow-up with Bishop Soto, who has been such a great supporter of both our program, the Bishop's Hour, and the Bishop's Hour that he does on our Spanish language sister station, Radio Santissimo Sacramento. So just great to be here, and appreciate everyone who has come along to help us along the way, especially you, the listeners. Well, we're pleased to be joined by Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center. Marie, good day to you.
Yeah, good day to you, Bob. Congratulations on 24 years.
Yeah, I think I started when I was in college.
yeah, I was a baby. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Very good.
No, it's funny how time flies. It's just, it does. You know, people say that, and they actually say, you know, as you get a little older, time goes a lot faster. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I'm going, what do they mean by that? You know, you're sitting there taking a math exam, and you think it's never going to be over. And it's true.
Life flies.
Kids grow up, and they go away to college, and then they have kids, and it's like, wow.
Yes. Yep. God is good. Life is good. But yes. Grasp every moment and appreciate it.
Sure. You know, somebody, I remember on one of those big birthdays that ends with a zero or a five, you know, and somebody said, well, how do you feel to be 900 years old? And you know, and I looked at him and I said, you know, I was born the exact second that God wanted me to be born. You know, and everybody, every single person was. So I'll never second guess that, you know.
Right.
I'll never second guess that. That's when he wanted me to be here. It's when he wanted everybody else on the earth to be here. And so no person should ever worry about what age they are, whether it be young, middle, or old, because that's the age you're supposed to be.
And I was reading somewhere where a lot of people do their best work in life or their legacy work between the ages of 50 and 80. Like, look at Mother Angelica, didn't start EW10 till 57. You know, that a lot of people accomplish a lot in those years. So I guess it means just keep on working.
Keep on working. I remember my mom who had a career as a registered nurse throughout her adult life, and she retired. She'd have worked till 100, but she retired when she was about 75 to take care of my dad, who had was really debilitated from Parkinson's, and and yet she told me she was never so busy as when she retired. Just all these organizations and Bible study and all these things that she just loved to do.
It's a great time to be able to give back.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of giving back, Sacramento Life Center, you've been giving now for a long time.
Yeah, we were just talking. Our Founders Day is March 24th. We'll be 51 years old organization, and we're talking about should we get cake? It's a Friday during Lent. I don't know.
Well, you know, there we were on St. Patrick's Day, and our Bishop Soto issued a dispensation for you know, I think you had to eat corned beef, though, you know.
Right.
The dispensation in honor of, you know, St. Patrick, the patron of our diocese. And just, you know, and that's, it's you know, you said, I'll just read his little memo. Insofar as the Feast of St. Patrick falls on a Friday during Lent this year, 2023, and because St. Patrick is the principal patron of the diocese, I hereby dispense the faithful from an obligation to abstain from meat and recommend that those members of the faithful who avail themselves of this dispensation choose another act of penance or piety to take its place, like maybe helping the Sacramento Life Center.
There you go. Oh, gosh, that's a good one, Bob. We do have our Lenten baby bottle project going right now, and people can also give to it online. You don't have to have one of our baby bottles that's out in the community, but it is a great way for people to practice all three, you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You know, give something up, the money you save, give it to the Life Center. You know, please pray for us and our work. It's getting, more and more challenging in the current, political times in California. Keep us in our prayers, especially our moms in your prayers. We've had three moms here this morning, nervous, excited, not sure what to do, and it really is the prayers of people that I think transform these moms into leaving excited about being, a mother.
Melinda Hennenberger, the Bee columnist, came out and did a piece on you, and you were, opened your doors and welcomed her and talked with her. And I thought she wrote for a secular piece in a mainstream newspaper. I thought she did a very fair and objective job in an area where I'm sure she got some darts and arrows thrown at her.
Like, in fact, I just sent that letter to our legislator that are doing AB 315 to the committee. That I thought it was a great article that, really gave a both sides unbiased opinion of the work, and that we're needed here in town.
That was her point, and I think, I've said it many times, and I know you do too, that the state of California. The 4 or 5 county area here in Sacramento should be happy with a service that you're providing that the government doesn't provide, and it's obviously a service that's necessary and helpful to the well-being of society and individuals especially. Anytime you help an individual, you help society. There's no way around it. You make the world a better place.
Right.
And leave out the abortion issue, the court
politics,
rulings, the legislature, everything else. Leave that all out. What you're doing beyond being completely legal and above board, and no deception at all, is a public service. Now, everybody doesn't want to avail themselves. Fine. Nobody has to.
Right.
But nobody's being charged. The one that I always come back to, and it makes me laugh when I get into little debates with people, saying, oh, no, they tie people down, and they do this, and they do that. And I say, have you ever been there? And I said, well, tell me, what's wrong with giving people 2 years of free diapers? Tell me what political philosophy or what moral philosophy would say that that's wrong, and it's not like, well, we'll give you these diapers if X, Y, and Z. It's just here are the diapers, it's just and there's they're kind of dumbfounded. It's like, they really do that? And I said, yeah, they do. They give them formula too, and they give them ultrasounds, and they get them on insurance. People that have never had insurance. They get undocumented people. Lots of them. Oh, really? Oh, that can't be true. It's just like you knock them off one by one, and you want to take them by the hand, as Melinda Hennenberger did, and say, come on, let's just walk through here and let's just see what happens. In fact, go undercover. Just come in and say, and just see what happens.
Yeah. Yep, our doors are open.
Your doors are open. You look at all the Lila Rose and all the undercover and all that. I know there's a lot of debates about deception and all that kind of stuff, but leave that all out. They exposed a lot of stuff that was going on at Planned Parenthood. And yet, you've never had that happen to you. Because I'm guaranteeing you people have tried.
Yeah, we've had some undercover, and but we're so, I mean, we don't trick people to coming in. We let them know what we do and what we don't do immediately. And this is how we can help if you want to take, you know, and we're here for you no matter what, you know. We're
even post-abortion. Even post-abortion, you're there for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if we weren't here, I mean, now women are coming to California from out of state.
Right.
Because several states have outlawed it. And we just had, you know, a woman who came to California to get an abortion. She went to her abortion appointment and was having second thoughts. And she Googled, and we came up, and we Ubered her over here. She said, I want to talk it through. And if we hadn't been there, you know, for her to take a moment and really think about what she's doing, now she's happy. She's going to have a baby.
You know, maybe in some ways, there's you know, with the people who are leaving one state to come to California to have an abortion, maybe just that getting away from all of the wherever they were living and all the stress they were undergoing in their life.
Yeah.
And maybe they're alone in a hotel room or something, and they've actually had some time to take a deep breath and think about what they're about to do.
That's so true. Time helps.
Yeah.
You know, they can get through the fear and the shock and the and think about it. And that's a lot of what they can do here. You know, they get loved on and support
And just
you know,
to
imagine
to,
a new life, and
you guys open the door, and there's a friendly face and a helpful face, and maybe they haven't had that through this whole experience, you know, so how did she learn about you? Do you know?
She just Googled pregnancy health in Sacramento, saw that you know we're less than a mile away from the abortion clinic, and called us up and said, "Come on over." And you know, it wasn't that she had completely changed her mind. She just was having second thoughts.
And you even sent her an Uber, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And so, because she had come here with her boyfriend, and he was on business, and he was at an appointment and dropped her there. So, yeah, we Ubered her over here and spent a lot of time and going through her issues. And even though she's out of state, you know, we can connect her with another pregnancy center in that state that can help her. And but a lot of it's just, you know, getting that ultrasound and realizing you have, you know, a human life and in you. And yeah, it just, you know, it's pretty transforming experience coming in here. And not that we're guilting them or, you know, it's all up to them. It's just a place they can take a moment and figure things out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just always the one figure that surprised me that I've read recently was the number of people that already have children. The percentage that have abortion. I thought it would be very low, just because can understand somebody who's never had a kid. Not quite, you know, buying that, oh, this is just a clump of cells and it's not really life. And I can understand you get that in your brain and people keep reinforcing it and you say, yeah, it's no big deal. But some of this actually had a child and has children. I mean, not just had it, but has children, realizes exactly what they are, you know, and I just don't understand.
I know.
That surprised me that the figure was that high.
It's very high. It's getting higher. And it's really a societal pressure. You know, women now, they have to work. If they already have a small young one, they just don't realize how they're going to do it with the husband. You know, society's made it harder to have families, you know.
It sure has.
And you know, we had a couple last week. One had a 6-month-old and one a 9-month-old. And, you know, we'd call those Irish twins, and it was no big deal. But they're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. They love their baby to death. And
that's so sad.
We just haven't made it easy, right?
Yeah.
So as a society to welcome that. I mean, people kind of frown on it. It's hard. But,
The other figure I saw that really surprised me And this is very recent because chemical abortion has risen to, it's like news story number one right now, was that 54, the figure I saw was 54% of the abortions in the United States are chemical abortions.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. I knew it was a growing number, especially probably, you know, colleges and universities, public universities are requiring it to be,
right,
to be provided, et cetera. But I didn't realize it was that high of a percentage.
Yeah, it could even be higher. You know, a lot of they don't keep close track on it.
Sure.
And, you know, I think it was Lila Rose that just did some undercover on the complications of them, and that they're told if they go to emergency room with, you know, bleeding complications to not admit that they took the pill. So
I
don't know if that's true, but so we don't know. Really, I know there's, you know, a judge in Texas who's trying to make it illegal, but they haven't done enough studies on the physical harm that can happen. And the dating, you know, women get their dates off, and it can, you know, it can be dangerous if you're not in the right time. And so, anyways, hopefully things will work out, you know, with that. But we do have the abortion pill reversal, which we do get women in here once in a while that were under stress and under, you know, went to the abortion clinic, and they have them take that first pill there while they're at the clinic, and they leave and they think about it. And so we've had quite a few. We've only had one loss out of probably 20, 25.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. It's a pretty narrow window, though, isn't it?
They do have to get in here pretty quick. It's just progesterone. It won't hurt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it depends on how far along they are, how strong the baby is, and there's a lot. But we've had great success here in getting them right into care. And then there's a lot after that, you know, emotionally. They'll always be worried, did they harm their baby? Did they? So there's a lot of emotional support that we're learning through this that these women need long after.
Oh, I can imagine any issues that child may have, you're going to run it through your brain like, well, if I hadn't, you know.
Yes.
Taking and this so drug, maybe far. That, and you know, and the thing that's so crazy. I mean, I remember reading about the whole debate about it, and they're quoting doctors, different doctors, and back and forth. And one of the doctors said, "Well, the reason you shouldn't do the reversal is it could be harmful to the baby." And I'm like, "Hold on here. So if you don't do the reversal, that's not going to be harmful." It's like it's not a baby if you're aborting it, but if you're trying to, I guess, unabort it, it's now harmful to the baby. And you go, man.
Right. Yeah. Somehow they don't always think that through, or there's some block there.
As we know, if a bad person, you know, shoots somebody who's pregnant and the fetus dies, it's murder. It's murder. Even if the mom doesn't die, but the shooting killed the fetus, it's murder.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's a felony, you know, illegal use of a gun or something. No, or assault. No, it's murder.
Right.
If they can prove that it was premeditated and intended to kill the fetus, by golly, it's first-degree murder, you know, and yet the mom or the doctor can do the exact same thing, which is intentional and premeditated, and ends in the life of that child, and it's not only not murder, you can speak about it at a rally.
Oh, yeah, and brag about it. Yeah.
It's just,
we've become pretty upside down.
It's one of those things in the law that just doesn't it just clashes. You know, you go, how can these two things be in the law at the same time? You know,
people just can't reconcile it, and you know, they want to just normalize it, but I don't think in women's hearts it's ever normal. You know.
No, and
Hollywood.
And
they
I think,
know.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so good about what you guys do and about, mm-hmm. you know, most of the people that I've run into in the pro-life movement, it's about compassion and it's about love and it's about help. And it's not about condemnation. It's not about what so many people on the other side of this issue think it is, that you know, we're trying to condemn people, we're trying to enforce a lifestyle on them, we're trying to all the adjectives people use to describe this. It's all about love and compassion and trying to help people that are in a really difficult situation. And even if we don't see their situation as difficult as they do, it's very real to them.
Yes.
And
and many, many people in the pro-life movement have had abortions, mm-hmm. and they'd wished there was somebody there for them. And so they really are just trying to offer love and support, and that's what women need, really. That's the key.
Yeah, and then when you put your efforts along with the Gabriel Project and St. Vincent de Paul and the Knights of Columbus and just individual people who are just willing to help. There are a lot of resources out there and a lot of good people that are willing to help you. And I think the biggest thing we can do is get the word out even more, you know.
Yes.
I'm so glad that this woman from out of state was able to was able to make contact with you.
Yep, and it's, you know, these online advertising, we're paying quite a bit of money now mm-hmm. to be able to reach women and not to fool them that we do anything we don't do, but just to say, you know, come in and think about it and see what's available and talk through your options and, you know, get some free medical services. You're going to need a pregnancy, you know, medical grade pregnancy test and mm-hmm. ultrasound and STD. So why not come here and get it free and then figure things out? So,
yeah, that's the the biggest thing is, and I think it's money well spent. I've thought about this many, many, many times, you know, is it billboards? Mm-hmm. Is it radio ads? Is it TV ads? Is it online? You know, I mean, a lot of us of a certain generation don't understand the power of online, and we're still stuck on Facebook. my kids say, "What? You're on Facebook, Dad? Come on!" You know, what about, you know, all these other social media platforms? Some of which are you know, tremendously followed, and because you have to reach your target audience, and I think it's sometimes it can seem, you know, you're trying to put money into your resources, you know, provide more services, provide more diapers, more food, more, you know, rides, doctor's appointments, mm-hmm. et cetera. The real tangible things. And you think, Jerry, we just spent $500,000 on newspaper ads or something. And it's not tangible, but it may be the best money you spend if it truly reaches the right people.
That's so true. Yep. And, you know, we have a nurse practitioner that can also, you know, help through the pregnancy and beyond. You know, that 6 weeks from having the baby to seeing your doctor, women have lots of questions and concerns. And so we have them come back here. And so we're just a really good resource for women, especially if they are low income. Doctors give them 5 to 10 minutes
right.
an appointment.
Right.
And here they can get a full hour, you know, of just, so it's
wow, that's remarkable.
A great service. it's
unfortunate in the healthcare world it has become that, you know, even the people that, you know, the doctors you've been with forever, and I'm not hammering the doctors, they're getting the word from up above, but but it is. It's like they're not asking you how your family's doing. They're not asking, you know, they're not there to chit chat. It's like they're they've got this workload and they've got their mandates, and it's pretty amazing, you know. Oh, your knee hurts. Okay, here's a brace. Goodbye. You know.
So this, I tell everybody that's pregnant, this is the best place to start. Just come in and you get celebrated and get hooked up with resources, and, you know, you take any income. You don't have to be low income. Just pregnant with concerns.
And you don't have to fill out any financial forms to prove that you should get service for free. The service is just free.
Yes. Yeah. So we see lots of happy moms pregnant. We see lots of devastated, and you know, we just had our first set of triplets a couple weeks ago.
No way.
At least since I've been here, a young couple. Oh my gosh, they were excited, but I think walked out sort of in shock.
they didn't know it was triplets, right? Wow.
It was all natural, and they all look and healthy, so that was kind of fun.
Yeah,
we get some happy moments.
That's interesting, you know, as you say, all natural, because when you get into the high multiple births, 3, 4, or 5, it's usually, you know, the you know, artificial, whatever you want to call it, you know. And you know, somebody told me one time, or I think I read it, that identical triplets is incredibly rare.
Oh, I bet.
Because you, one egg can't split into three, or one embryo can't split into three. It could split into two. It could split into four. You know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so I forget how it. I guess it has to. Oh, I don't know. It has to split, and then one of them has to split again. You could have people. I'm sure there's a doctor listening laughing right now, going, "That's wrong." but I remember there was somebody that had identical triplets, and they explained the near impossibility of it.
Mm-hmm.
But triplets, wow, that's like they don't even make triple strollers. You need a lot of baby Bjorns.
Yes, you do. We do have our gala date. I wanted to put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
November 11th.
Yes,
so,
Veterans Day.
Yes, it's the second weekend this year.
That's Saturday.
The Hyatt gave us.
Yeah.
But we stay at the Hyatt because people love it, and they take good care of us, and it's a wonderful venue, and we make it such a fun event, I think. The Hyatt's now had people contacting me that haven't done events to help them. I'm like, Chris, send me, you know, how. Yeah. And so I've had a few people contact. The Hyatt said that you do, you know, run such a great event, and could you help us? So that's quite an honor.
So you do such
a good job.
You're gonna be an event planner now.
Yeah, I know.
Do you need a caterer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I mean, but that's how people learn. You know, they see they go to an event that's so well run and so joyful, and they say that's what I want. Even if it's not a pro-life group, you know, they say we want to know how they did this.
Yeah, so that's exciting. We did get our new mobile clinic. I think
I think the last time we talked, you had just gotten it the day before, which was so exciting.
So it's right now down at the graphic designer getting the outside wrap, we call it. So one step at a time, that should be on the road pretty soon. So,
I heard you love to drive it.
I have been driving it all over. It's not hard. You know, it's a 20-foot, 25 feet. It's not difficult at all to drive. So I'm excited about that. So we can take it out and about much easier than the great big huge RVs.
So how many parking spots do you need? Two?
Yeah, one and a half.
One and a half.
Know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, don't ask me to park it. don't.
Yeah, I know. So we're very excited. We've designed the outside and can't wait to get that out and about again. We miss having our mobile clinic ministry out there. So, again, something that people can support if they so choose.
Well, I think you should have a cake. It's Lent, but it's your 51st anniversary. And again, as the bishop said when he issued his St. Patrick's Day dispensation, recommend that for the faithful to choose another act of penance or piety to take its place. You know, and so just have a little piece of cake. Don't put lots of frosting on it. Just put a little bit of frosting. You know?
Right, and if anybody wants to come that day on the 25th from 12 to 2, we can give them a little tour. They can have cake and punch. And
of course,
Friday the 24th.
The 25th, of course, such a big day in the Catholic calendar. March the 25th, yeah.
Yes, very nice.
Well, Marie, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bob.
We appreciate you not being a stranger to this program.
I appreciate you having me on and let me share the great work we do. We love it.
Well, God bless you and everybody there at the Sacramento Life Center and all the people who come to see you. I know God has blessed it, but may He continue to bless it. And we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Okay.
Thanks
God
so
bless.
Much.
Happy
Marie.
Easter.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. That's Marie Leatherby, the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center, someone they're really lucky to have there running that program, does such a great job. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town, and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Kevin, for all you do and for that wonderful introduction. Well, we're pleased to welcome Bobby Miller, Assistant Director for Camp Pendola, the great camp up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, right near the Tahoe National Forest and all that. Bobby, good day to you.
Well, good day. How are you?
You're doing fine. You're the assistant director to the great Jennifer Campbell.
I sure am.
Yeah, and Jennifer unable to join us today, and it's good to get a new voice here on the program. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your relation to Camp Pendola.
Well, I'm happy to be with you guys today. So, Camp Pendola, I started going to Camp Pendola as a camper in 1987.
Wow.
As a camper. I know, a long time ago, huh?
Yeah.
So, basically, we heard about it through, I went to St. Francis Elementary School for a few years, and that's how we heard about it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I had to go check it out. And as soon as I did, I just fell in love with it because, you know, typically, I love nature. I love being outside. And you add that with team building and all that kind of fun stuff, and I don't know what kid wouldn't love it.
So did you have any trepidation about, you know, leaving home and going to camp the first time?
Oh, of course. It's always scary the first time.
Yeah.
But I think I had a couple friends from school, not necessarily in my class that were there, but mm-hmm. I knew a couple people from school that had gone. And it wasn't scary at all. After the first day, I'd met new friends, which became lifelong friends. I'm still lifelong friends with my camper friends today.
That's what I hear that story over and over.
Yeah. Decades later, and I'm still really good friends, like really good friends.
Oh, that's great.
We still go backpacking and hiking too. So, yeah, it was a little scary, but it was quick to get over.
That's so good. And so explain your first camp experience. What, like, was it all girls or was it co-ed? Was it?
Yeah. So back when I was a camper, we did boys, girls, and we did boys session and girls session.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to be around the other boys, which we do co-ed now, except for during girls week, girls mm-hmm. only week. So I was just basically around all my other peers, girls, and It was fun. I think it'd be even more fun if I knew boys were being up there. But yeah, that wasn't really my distraction at the time as a kid, though. So
yeah. So do they run camp according to age groups too, or is it kind of a wide range all at once?
No, we host anyone from 7 to 17 all at once.
Mm-hmm.
We do have certain weeks that. I cater to your mini weekers, so it's only 3 days versus the full week. And that's for our younger kids. Our mini weekers are your first to fourth graders. And then our teen trips also are different weeks as well. But your ages 7 through 17 can come throughout the whole summer offered.
Very good. Very good. And there were a couple of years there, of course, because of COVID, where you couldn't have camp. They kept trying to have the 60th anniversary, and they couldn't have it.
Yeah.
For people who have not been there, describe the camp.
So camp is up in Camptonville, California. It's about, I would say, about 2 hours up from Sacramento, mm-hmm. up Highway 49. It's near Bullard Bar Reservoir, which is absolutely beautiful. We offer the canoe trips, too, as well, the boys and the girls canoe trips, but we will take them to Bullard Bar and they
and
can
that's,
camp out.
That's on the Yuba River, right?
The Yuba River does feed Bullard, I believe, or runs out of. I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah. Probably has some little creeks coming in, too, that we haven't
heard
of.
Oh, it has lots of creeks.
Yeah.
So a couple of our campsites that we offer the overnight, because the kids who come for the full week will go on one overnight, and that's hiking out of camp anywhere from a mile to a little over a mile. And they'll stay in these campsites, and they're usually located near creeks because they'll also learn how to filter their own water and mm-hmm. cook their own food on the camp out. And that's just one of the nights. And the other nights that they're in camp and days, we do all kinds of activities, as in, like, sports. We'll do archery. We have a big, beautiful freshwater pond that has, we have paddle, or what are those little paddle boats? in canoes that they can go in and play in the boats there as well if they don't want to swim. I think what else? Oh, we have the big cabins that everyone stays in. And I like to tell all the kids when they go to visit them in school that they have to bring really good flashlights because we don't have electricity in those cabins. So, yeah.
Wow. So how many times did you go back as a camper?
I went every single year until I was the age to work as a counselor. Well, I went as like a team in training. We do the team leadership training, so I did all that. And then once I completed that, I became a counselor.
Okay.
And then a few years after that, I became like the archery specialist and worked in the kitchen crew. And I've done it all pretty much. And then the last few summers, I ran the health center, except for last summer.
Oh, wow. So what does running the health center involve?
So basically, it's just taking care of all the children's medical needs. What they come up with, either they take medication or don't, just keeping all medical records of all the campers that come up and staff as well. And then if anything were to happen, like bug bites, to scrapes, to scratches, I'm there to take care of it, help them out, make sure, you know, everything's okay. Just having a medical person there on staff at all times.
Yeah, you've had a really good run at Camp Pendola of not having any major issues.
I have. Like, I actually took a little bit of pride in that, knowing that I hadn't had to transport any children during my time there. And it was all pretty much just minor, just little scrapes and bug bites, you know, which is part of camp.
There are going to be bug bites. I don't think I've heard of any cases of poison oak, even, which is...
We do have poison oak up there, but we're really good about educating the campers and staff about what it looks like and to stay away from it. And if we do have any in camp, we definitely get removed before the campers come up.
There's some places in California where it's almost impossible not to brush up against poison oak.
I know. A lot of people don't even know you can get it from the roots, too.
From the what?
You can get poison oak from the roots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so it's funny, my brother, who was a year older, he just had terrible problems with poison oak. I mean, if he looked at it, he'd get it, and I never got it, and it wasn't because I was any more careful. It's just some people are just a lot more susceptible to it.
They sure are, and so we take that in consideration. We have all kinds of stuff to help remove poison oak if they are in contact with it on accident, so... There are lots of stuff we take precaution with, and that's one of them is poison oak.
Yeah, wow. Nothing else in the forest, though, that's very poisonous, I don't think.
No. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
And you're right next. Is it the Tahoe National Forest you're next to?
Yes, we're in the Tahoe National Forest.
Wow.
And it's absolutely beautiful up there. I always say you got to disconnect or reconnect to get up there.
Yeah, I remember coming in. It was like one of those, I forget, it was like a work day or something in May, late May, I think, you know, where people were invited to come up and went up there with my family, and it was just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. It is. I call it my Disneyland.
Yeah. So now as assistant director, you still run the health center?
No, we have another lady that's going to be running the health center, but I'm always eager to help out anywhere they need help. And I still hold all my certs, so I'm still a certified EMT.
So tell us about the various camps, you know, the various weeks this year.
So we have 5 different weeks this year, starting in June 18th. We'll start with the Weird Science Week, which is co-ed. And then that will be followed by the Girls Only Week, which is Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And that's from June 25th to the 30th. And then Fun in the Sun is also a co-ed week, which is July 9th. And then a really fun week for our teens. And this is 6th grade and up. We don't let our lower campers come up that week. It's just teen week. Like I said, it's 6th grade and up. And starts on the 16th of July.
Wow.
Challenge week. And then we'll have Christmas in July with
local meat-based products. We bring that with as well.
Bobby, I feel like we're losing you just a little bit here.
You know?
Yeah, okay, you're better.
I'm up for 20 times.
Oh, yeah, well, that's there's probably not the best cell reception. The girls just want to have fun week. Does Cindy Lauper come?
I think she did.
Well, Bobby, it's so good to talk with you. Thanks so much for all you do to make camp so special for so many kids for so many years.
That's an absolute honor. I appreciate it.
Take care. God bless.
All right. You too.
Yeah, that's Bobby Miller, assistant director at Camp Pendola. They're already taking sign-ups. They're still looking for some counselors and other jobs there. They always manage to fill all of them. The counselors have to be 18 years old, and so it's frequently filled by young men or women who are in college, and, you know, it fits right into their summer off schedule. It starts late enough in June and finishes early enough in August that, you know, some colleges and universities areas start in August. Some of them don't start until September. Some of them get out in May. Some of them don't get out till the middle of June. But they've figured it all out there. And it is paid. It's a really generous salary. And as Jennifer Campbell always says, it's hard to spend any money up there. It includes all your meals and lodging, et cetera. And you actually do get about a day and a half off. You can leave Friday evening when one group of campers leave and not come back till Sunday about noon when the next group of campers come in. So you actually, if you live within an hour or two of Camp Pendola, you could be home on Friday night and have Friday night with your friends and family, and then all day Saturday and Saturday night, and then come back up on Sunday after Mass, or come up Sunday in time for Mass at Camp Pendola. So you do get some time off in between. So it's a great opportunity for college students or people that have turned 18 to be up there. Well, as many of you know, we lost a great man here in California in Bishop David O'Connell. His tireless work for others in the name of Jesus, and the California Catholic Conference came out with a while ago with just a beautiful tribute to him. California Catholic Conference representing all the bishops in the state of California. And this is titled "Remembering Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell's Tireless Work for Others in the Name of Jesus." And he was an auxiliary bishop in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. These are the words of that the California Catholic Conference has put together in remembrance of Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell. "As we continue to struggle with the senseless killing of Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell on February 18, and he was murdered, a suspect has been arrested, there's no question that he leaves behind a brilliant legacy of love for others and Jesus, seen particularly well through his work with the California Catholic Conference. A native of County Cork, Ireland, Bishop O'Connell was born in 1953 and ordained a priest in 1979. His work with the conference began immediately after he was installed as Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles in 2015. He joined the CCC's Restorative Justice Committee and took on the role of chair in 2018. His work was instrumental in moving toward a society healed from divisiveness and fear and that responds to crime and violence with restoration and healing. His lifelong work as a peacemaker made him perfect in this role, and he did it so well, according to Restorative Justice Director Debbie McDermott, who also shares Bishop O'Connell's Irish heritage. We were from different parts of Ireland. I grew up near the border and the Troubles, so I understood the conflict and the peace he was about because of it." This is the tribute to Bishop David O'Connell from the California Catholic Conference. Bishop O'Connell's work on the CCC Restorative Justice Committee included spearheading the creation of a bereavement ministry guide in English and Spanish, which was met with extreme gratitude from families who had experienced murders or the violent crime of a loved one and had no spiritual direction. He was one of a kind, very humble. He did so much for people behind the scenes, said social justice and environmental stewardship director Linda Wanner. Just before COVID, Bishop O'Connell and two other committee members held an in-person meeting with the head of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, which resulted in expanding its job specifications for Catholic chaplains to include laypersons. Before that, it was confined to only priests. McDermott said he was uniquely able to listen to the problem and see the solution and make the strategic plan, and it was always through the light of God and our Blessed Mother. Bishop O'Connell was also involved in AB 256, the Racial Justice Act, which addresses racial disparities in California's sentencing process. He met with Senator Portantino at his district office with a group of faith leaders advocating for this legislation to get out of the Senate Appropriations Committee. The bill ended up being signed by Governor Newsom last year. Kathleen Domingo, the executive director of the California Catholic Conference, said, "More than anything, Bishop Dave wanted to radiate the love of Jesus. Everything he did for the incarcerated, the homeless, gang members, immigrants, children, expectant moms, the elderly, and dying, he did so that he could bring the love of Jesus to them." Bishop O'Connell also played a significant role in working against physician-assisted suicide, which became legal in California in 2015. A failure of heart, really, that we can't think of anything else we can do for people who have been told that they have terminal illness than to offer them a package of pills where they can take their own life and say, go ahead, just commit suicide. That's what Bishop O'Connell said to the National Catholic Register in an interview in 2016. Molly Sheehan, Associate Director for Life for the California Catholic Conference, said Bishop Dave was a true shepherd with a ministry of presence. He would show up to everything, pro-life prayer vigils, youth events, immigration meetings, and always had time to pray with the person in front of him. My fondest memories of him are when he would attend our young adult events, offering hilarious jokes and words of encouragement, and always reminding us, Jesus loves you. He wants to be close to you. Bishop O'Connell's commitment to immigrants often led him to the border, where he would pass out water to immigrants in the hot, dry desert region. He regularly said Holy Mass for the undocumented children staying at the L.A. County Fairplex in Pomona, and was one of the founding members of the SoCal Immigration Task Force. He worked with CCHD to gain funding to help immigrant and other poor families have access to Catholic school education, knowing it would change their lives. Kathleen Domingo added he had a great love for children. Nothing hurt him more than seeing children unloved, abused, forgotten, or in pain. He had a heart for foster youth and helped us with many initiatives to promote fostering in our Catholic community. Kim Nichols, CCC Director of Communications, said, "The first time I met Bishop Dave, we presented a new project we were looking to launch, and he immediately wanted to be involved. His enthusiasm and spirit were gifts to all who worked with him." End of quote. Bishop O'Connell was poised to launch his latest vision, the Shalom Project, a series of 12 workshops building skills for all in the areas of restorative justice, conflict resolution, the basic building blocks of transformation, peacemaking, listening, and more. The CCC is now moving forward with a project in his memory. He recently facilitated a retreat for Catholic chaplains using this process. According to McDermott, they told him, "You know your onions." In other words, he peeled back all the layers. A funeral mass took place Friday, March 3rd at 11 a.m. at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Angels in Los Angeles. Kathleen Domingo added, "Bishop Dave believed in old-fashioned face-to-face togetherness. When you were with him, you knew that he mattered. When you were with him, you knew that you mattered, that he loved you. By his very presence, looking you in the eye and taking what you were saying so seriously, he brought Jesus into every moment, every encounter. We have truly lost something special in Bishop Dave, but we have also gained a relentless intercessor. Bishop Dave had such a great love for Our Lady that stemmed from his experience of love from his own mother. I am certain he is with her now, telling her little jokes and asking her to intercede for all the people he loved to her son Jesus. And I am certain that Our Lady will do just about anything for her beloved son David, and it follows with a beautiful Irish poem. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall softly upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Bishop David O'Connell, the an auxiliary bishop in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. May he rest in peace. Wow. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. Joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the word